This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon, a very wet Sunday afternoon, and if you are going out this afternoon, just take an umbrella with you if you're going for a walk with the dog this afternoon. Well, coming up, a very special anniversary today. We'll have more in Where Was I on this special day in 19... I'll tell you shortly. I'm not going to let too much away. So, the afternoon, we'll have the usual. We'll have Mel, Trevor. We'll also have Dwayne giving us some football scores. My favourite club has gone down. More about that later in the afternoon and much, much more. So, without further ado, let's press the button. The Commenters Miners column comment on Free FM. Well, this time last week, we were told that there was an assassination attempt on Donald John Trump. And throughout the week, we've had headlines like Defiant Trump pushes on to GOP convention, Biden said it's time to cool down, a defiant moment, Dems attack Vance as extreme, and loyalist Kiwi splashes out cash for VP pick, gunman's phone little, and much, much more. Well, everybody was shocked that someone had tried to attempt to assassinate Trump, but it was back to normal. Only a day later, with his ear bandaged up, he was off to the GOP convention in Milwaukee. Sadly, that convention was a train wreck. Was he drunk, or did he just fall down? Rudy Giuliani. Donald Trump Jr. had a go at a reporter. Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said the Democrats were to blame for the assassination attempt on Trump and called the Democrats pedophiles, among other things. We had Matt Gaetz, who got up on stage and looked like he'd had Botox gone wrong. You should have looked at his face. Before that, he'd had a go at Kevin Johnson, the former speaker. And I think Matt Gaetz has got his own problems. It's alleged he's had sex with a minor. So we'll hear more about that later. And if Gary's with us today, we'll talk about that too. Hulk Hogan turned up. Donald Trump turned up. He started a speech and then started rambling. So it's business as usual in the GOP. Joe Biden's got COVID. We'll see what happens next week. FM 89.0. It is 16 minutes to one. Time to do the history lesson for the afternoon, day 202. Yes, day 202. And on this day, July 24, 2024. Today, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the moon after disembarking from the Apollo 11 lunar module.
Into the black of outer space go four of the chosen few. The systems check out A-OK. We're going to the moon. Moonshot countdown, Earth shine on. Blaze your...
This very day in 1925, the founding of the Ratana Church by Tifar Ratana. This day in 1949, the United States ratified the North Atlantic Treaty.
Right off a tree.
We got volleyball and ping pong and a lot of dandy games.
What ain't we got?
We ain't got games.
We get packages from home.
We get movies, we get shows.
We get speeches from our skipper.
And advice from Tokyo Rose.
We get letters doused with poi fuel.
We get dizzy from the smell.
What?
Tony Bennett, the American singer, dies this day in 1923.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan.
1999, American novelist Ernest Hemingway, born. He died in 1961. He committed suicide. Day in 2014, former All Black and boxer Kevin Skinner dies.
We're out to change the score. When the packs go down, we're gonna run that town. You'll know us by our roar.
It was on this day in 1998 that the death of the oldest man at 47 to walk on the moon, Alan Shepard, from Apollo 14.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby.
Before I do play the number two song on the New Zealand pop charts this day in 1969 as Man Walked on the Moon, a personal story. I was 12 this day in 1969, sitting in the room two of Cambridge Intermediate School. The radio crackled, the speaker on the wall. We stopped our lessons to listen to those immortal words by Neil Armstrong as Man Walked on the Moon. And it's quite coincidental that the number two song this day in 1969, 55 years ago. Free FM, 89.0, independent community media. Yes, number two this day in 1969 in New Zealand. Bad Moon Rising, the day that we walked on the moon. With Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, Collins up above in Apollo 11's command module. And actually on Friday night I did go and see a movie called Fly Me to the Moon, starring Chatham Tatum and also Woody Harrelson from Cheers. It was a fictional movie with some that there's been a conspiracy theory promulgated by a lot of people around the world that the moon landing was fake and it was filmed on a film set. Well, the premise of the movie I saw on Friday night was that at the back of Cape Canaveral, then known as Cape Kennedy, they made a film and tried to transmit it instead of the live feed from the moon. Yeah, that was the basis of that particular story. So, yes, we walked on the moon this day, July 21, 1969, 8 minutes to 1 o'clock. July 2, 1949, 1XH Hamilton broadcast from the basement of the Hamilton Council Chambers in Alma Street. The council moved out in 1960 and 1XH took over the whole building. Then 1YW, National Radio, RNZ, took over one of the station's two studios. One staff member, Lyndon Diggle, joined 1XH as he wrote scripts and helped compile music programs. This was the day before computers. Diggle later joined the National Film Unit, where he filmed items for Pictorial Parade. Diggle later worked with famed British director David Lean. Of course, he's the man behind the bridge on the River Kwai. Diggle died November 23, 2018. Well, the New Seekers at the Founders Theatre, which is now a pile of rubble, April 28, 2012. The Smash Hits 70s Tour, Hamilton, Tauranga, Christchurch, Dunedin, Invercargill. On the tour with Paper Lace, the New Seekers with original lead singer Scott Eve Graham. The tour under Stetson Productions, founded by former NZBC announcer Stuart McPherson and his wife Tricia. And in 1971, there was a Coca-Cola commercial, and it became a big, big worldwide hit. The New Seekers, I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Are you listening, Donald?
And furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to see the world for once.
FM 89.0, independent community media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. It's 5 to 1. The News Seekers would like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just harking back to that day in 1955, sitting in room 2 of Cambridge Intermediate School under inspirational headmaster, the late Jerry Brown. It was Mr. Brown who stuck the radio on as we listened to the words of, we heard Neil Armstrong say those famous words from the moon. And all you conspiracy theorists, go away. It did happen. And of course, we got it to see it later. And the story of how we got it to on our television screens is another story. That's for another day. But in the history lesson, you heard me play a song that remembers astronauts. I'm going to play the full song for you. These are the Royal Guardsmen. And this is called The Smallest Astronaut.
Chosen few. The systems check out A-OK. We're going to the moon. Moonshot countdown, Earth shine on. Blaze your light our way. Tell the world the universe belongs to us today. On through the pull of 50 G's and up through the atmosphere. Suddenly a blip hits the radar screen and another ship flies near. The astronauts try the radio, but the mystery ship flies on. So the captain hits the retro boost and the race to the moon is on. 10, 9, 8 and counting down, our boys are. Races past on the radio can be heard a discouraging word. A faithful friend knows all is lost if the Baron keeps his pace. So he volunteers for a decoy flight so his friends can win the race. Heads back to Earth and the Baron turns around. The race to the moon's forgotten till he shoots our hero down. But as the smallest astronaut lands safely on the ground, 200,000 miles away, Apollo touches down.
FM 89.0, independent community media. Coming up to 1 o'clock, The Littlest Astronaut. And of course, that song has got links to the Snoopy songs from the Royal Guardsmen. There was a course called Snoopy's Christmas. There was Snoopy versus the Red Baron. There was Snoopy for President. I might play Snoopy for President shortly. Yeah, that'll be interesting to play that and other Snoopy songs. They weren't one-hit wonders, folks. Yeah. And, of course, you probably hear Snoopy's Christmas when Christmas comes around. And talking about 1969, the backside of the Creedence Clearwater Revival hit of Bad Moon Rising was this one. It's called Lodi. It was a double-sided hit for John Fogerty and CCR. It's 1 o'clock.
Just about a year ago, I set out on the road.
Lodi, Creedence Clearwater Revival, 2 minutes past one, shortly joined by Mel Driscoll. But right now, as promised, the Royal Guardsman, Snoopy, for president.
The time had come to elect a president, and all the famous candidates thought they were heaven sent. They screamed and raved and bounded, their hands upon their hearts. But soon the noble promises were hard to tell apart. Waiting at the pumpkin patch, a dog sincere and brave. And everybody hoped that soon the country he would save. The pumpkin said the day has come for you to take a stand. For love has left the people across our native land. Flashed his famous grin. He jumped into his faithful friend, the sop with camel plane, and bounced around the countryside from Washington to Maine. Was looking bad till Snoopy made a speech. Soon Illinois and Tennessee were both within his reach. He won the vote in Oregon, but time was growing thin. And back at the convention hall, the votes were pouring in. Snoopy smiled his way into the hearts of everyone. But when the votes were counted up, they found he needed one. The winning vote for Snoopy came when a stranger raised his hand. Snoopy turned, the stranger spoke.
Mein friend, we meet again.
Somewhere the sign of the elephant, and somewhere the sign of the mule. But we'll hold the sign of the beagle high, and love will shine like through. Somewhere the sign of the elephant, and somewhere the sign of the mule. But we'll hold the sign.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. With song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words, I love you.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air. I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco.
FM 89.0, celebrating a few anniversaries today. Of course, we lost Tony Bennett this time last year. He died July 21, 2023. We also are celebrating 55 years of the moon landing. Has any other radio station mentioned that today? Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. And we'd like to go to our media specialist, John Terrace, from an organisation that Media Matters in New Zealand. Some reassuring comments of the Minister of Media and Communications, Paul Goldsmith, this week.
Oh, very much so. I think that everybody's delighted with, when I say everybody, I'd have to say that there would be a few naysayers, but the fact is that Paul Goldsmith seems to be the only person who's actually managed to master the complications of the current media crisis in New Zealand and start to do something about it. I mean, we've had a succession of broadcasting ministers, haven't we? There was Willie, and going back further, there was Claire, and then there was Chris Farfoy, and so on into the distant past. But he seems to have been able to sort of grasp what needs to be done. And he's talking very authoritatively on the TV about it. And I think that's a great thing.
Were you ever a Minister of Broadcasting, John Terrace?
Oh, I had great aspirations, but they never came to anything. I was actually the Labour Party spokesman on broadcasting for a while, and then it came to a point where I fell out with the Labour Party because I was advocating at the time. This was at the time when only state television was operating, and I felt that it was necessary to get some private competition in there to sharpen our act and to bring ourselves into the modern age.
Did it work?
And the Labour Party of the day, this is back in the 1980s, had the view that state television should monopolize the television space. Now, I mean, that's long ago become an out-of-date view, but that's the view they had at the time. And so my promotion to Minister of Broadcasting was killed before it even got to first base by the then Labour Party Prime Minister, Labour Party President, one Jim Anderson.
Yeah, and then he fell out with the Labour Party too. So, wheels and roundabouts, John Terrace.
Well, I mean, being a member of Parliament is a challenge because you actually have to, if you're in it for progress to be made on intractable issues, you have to be prepared to adapt, and you have to be prepared to change. Change is always uncomfortable, but as far as being a member of Parliament is concerned, you have to change your views where necessary,
mm-hmm.
because compromise is what politics is all about. In other words, getting support from people who don't necessarily agree with you is the way in which progress can be made. In fact, it's the only way in politics where progress can be made.
Well, we saw with TV3 there was such rumblings in the back office that I wonder if it's finished yet, the cost-cutting, the news on the cheap.
Yeah, well, some people say it's news on the cheap. I think that they've done a really spanking good job at TV3 of bringing together with a prominent publisher, Stuff Newspapers, who are very, very enlightened and progressive chain of newspapers. And you know, if you're having to fund the entire operation, the entire news operation, out of taxpayers' money, you're going to find yourself falling short. You have to be prepared once again to find a middle way. In this case, what they've done is they brought together TV3, which is privately owned but exists only because of some state funding which is available to them, TV3 and a private newspaper chain. Now, I mean, I think that's a very, very strong combination of talents and strengths.
Yep.
And I don't think that Television One News, 6 o'clock news, is a particularly good example of the way to go. I mean, they run for an hour, which means that they, after about 20 minutes, they've exhausted the possibilities of news. And for the next 40 minutes until 7 o'clock, they have, you know, very, very light. News light, if you like. I mean, you know, it's all about elephants taking baths and hippos getting lost and obscure famines in even more obscure African nations. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about these things. What I'm saying is that our news really is only worth half an hour anyway.
I think, like in Britain, we've got GB News, BBC, ITV, STV, and all the rest of them. They should have time to spread out the evening newspapers on the desk and go through some of the headlines in the other newspapers, like Stuff, New Zealand Herald, etc., etc. I see this on GB News in the morning because I'm getting a big fan of GB News, even with Nigel Farage and Rees-Mogg and all the other MPs that hang around there too. So, yeah, put the newspapers on the desk and have a look and get some experts in to talk about some of the stories.
Yes, Bruce, and you're absolutely right there, but you're also illustrative of what is happening in television and across all media, which is we are now in the digital age where you can select your own programs. You don't need a fixed free-to-air channel in order to be able to keep informed about what's going on in the world. You can surf up to 30 channels in New Zealand now, whereas once we only had two, and they're multiplying almost daily.
Yes, I've got
and
that.
You're a very good example of how people are increasingly choosing their own means yep. of news distribution, and that's why TV One is running out of money.
Yep. I've got a smart television at home, and it's got the Samsung digital service, and it's got everything from 70s, old 70s television programs up to old 70s music videos. So I'm satisfied, and this is the system that carries GB News. So I haven't seen TVNZ or TV3 News for months. I've just given up on it.
Listen, you're an increasing share of the viewing and listening population in New Zealand, and it's time for our state radio and television people to get wise to the fact that, like community radio, which is what you guys represent, which brings a unique perspective, the community's perspective, if you like, the people's perspective on the news of the on events of the day. So, in terms of the future of television, you have to accommodate to the fact that increasingly people are making their own choices. No longer is it somebody in a big office at TVNZ head office making decisions about what people should be allowed to watch. People can make those own decisions for themselves. That's the digital age. Yeah. It's arrived.
Yeah. And, of course, with the YouTube, I've been watching the state opening of the British Parliament under Sir Keir Starmer and the battle to be leader of the Conservative Party, and Nigel Farage caused a few issues on when he was installed as an MP, and even a man came in with his guide dog because he's a blind MP. So it was fascinating watching all this.
You're better informed, Bruce, as a result of the fact that you have access to this new digital media age.
Yep.
And coming right back to where it places our state television broadcaster, TVNZ, they've got to get wise to the fact that they've got to open up their streams of decision-making to what it is that people actually want. TVNZ is a closed shop as far as the opinion of its viewers are concerned. Now, they're not interested in what their viewers might have to say. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of surveys of what viewers think. That's not particularly helpful because, you know, surveys are calculated to be composed on the basis that the question that you ask will decide the answer that you get in a survey. You don't need to scientifically measure audience views. What you need to do is to open the channel up to people. I mean, when was it that we actually sat down and listened to a group of people on television giving their views on the issues of the day?
Yeah.
I mean, that is where the future lies mm-hmm. in state radio and television.
Yeah.
Not in having so-called experts sort of process the material before it reaches us.
Yep. And of course, the problem between Winston Peters and Jack Tame.
Yeah, look, I think that Jack Tame, up until quite recently, has been tame in more ways than one. And it's not that he isn't a very good broadcaster, because he is. But what I like about Tame is that he has suddenly discovered his mojo. I watched him interviewing two people on Sunday morning on Q&A last week. He interviewed Paul Goldsmith on the Broadcasting Changes. It was a very good interview. He pressed the minister on a couple of occasions. And then he interviewed Deborah Nairiri Packer, who's co-leader of Te Pāti Māori. And I mean, he was on to it.
Yep.
He is no longer the Jack Tame that we know and not necessarily love, asking very tame questions. He asked tough questions, and he persisted with his inquiry.
Yep.
And he had her on the back foot. that's the sort of television that I want to see done locally.
Yeah, no, did he get through her racist thoughts? Because I'm finding her, when she does an interview, it is so, I have to say this, racist.
Well, it's very, very insulting of the majority audience, which is largely carrying the cost, not without plenty of justification, of course, as we all know, carrying the cost of realising the ideals that were expressed in the Treaty of Waitangi so many years ago. I mean, that's always going to be a controversial space. And I think in some ways what we've got in the parliament that we've got is what we need to have. On the left wing, you've got Te Pāti Māori, who are kind of, well, to my rather sort of middle-of-the-road views, just a bit too outspoken. On the other flank, on the right flank, you've got ACT, which, you know, people like Casey Costello, I mean, for all that she's obviously a good person, comes through at times as being quite dim. So you've got the extreme left and the extreme right, already very well represented. So that's going to force Labour and National to get more sensitive to what is the majority view. The majority view, as was played out in the recent elections in the UK, is not actually, surprise, surprise, Neil Farage. I mean, he got, what, six seats or something?
Yeah, and there could be a Conservative Party member leaving the Conservatives. He could pick up another party member. There's rumours Tory member's leaving.
It does represent an important segment of the population. Not the majority, however. And that's the challenge for middle-of-the-road parties like Labour and National.
Do you think also that Gerry Brownlee should cut his ties like Lindsay Hoyle has done in Britain, cut his ties with the Labour Party, and being more independent, not tied to his party, should... because I think Brownlee has got to get tougher with some of these MPs.
I think that's going to be a difficult call for him. I think that Gerry has generally performed reasonably well. I think that he made a big mistake by taking the very ultra-conservative view that you shouldn't give historic buildings any weight and importance when they discovered that Heritage New Zealand had taken an old bit of a dunger out the back of Parliament buildings and declared that it was a heritage song. that got Gerry really fired up. And I think that he overstepped his brief there, as I think Mallard did at the time when he turned the hoses on the protesters in Parliament grounds.
Do you think Brownlee ought to tell the men, wear a tie? I'm sick of this tie-less... I'm sick of that.
I think you're of my generation, I'm getting
I'm in the mid-60s.
Yeah. Well, I'm in my mid-80s, but setting that aside, because I don't like to think about it too much, the truth of the matter is that we're getting old in the tooth, and ties are no longer a thing. I mean, I go to, because of my age, I go to a lot of funerals. I go to a lot of the funerals of my contemporaries who've done their dash and are passing on. And more people at funerals, even though they're still very correct and generally wear suits, are appearing at funerals without a tie.
Yep.
Now, you know, I think a few years ago people have thought that would have been disrespectful to the departed. But I think now, increasingly, people no longer feel that a tie is an essential part of one's garb.
But
I actually have to say that I still wear ties to funerals.
Well, I wore a tie through town last night as I was going out. I still get dressed up to go out. It's but the thing is that Sir Lindsay Hoyle in the Commons told an MP, next time I see you, you've got to wear a tie. So that's in the Commons.
Well, I think we were all waiting for Gerry to come that way.
Yeah.
But when you've got people of intractable natures like the bloke who co-leads Departing Barry, I can't remember his name at the moment. Rowery Wright Waititi. I mean, he wears a hat, and that is a calculated insult in the chamber. It's an insult to the majority Pākehā population.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got away with it.
Yep.
He's got away with it, and that's because I suppose we've come to believe over time, at least more recently, that we have to be more tolerant of other people's views than we're used to being.
Remember,
even though we don't agree with them.
Remember, John, when it was unheard of for a woman, a mature woman, to be in church without a hat?
Without a hat, yes. Well, you know, once upon a time that was considered as an insult to the Almighty. Now, if women wear hats, and sometimes they do in the church that I go to, they're not sort of elegant sort of combinations of paste and feathers. They're more likely to be a builder's cap.
Hey, just one final point. Today we are celebrating 55 years ago, the moon landing. You were in broadcasting in 1969, weren't you?
I was.
Where were you on this suspicious day?
On that particular morning, I was in a church lounge. I'd helped to take the service. It was in Christchurch, the church that I was helping at the service for has since been flattened by the big earthquake. But we had managed somehow to get a picture up on television in the parish lounge, and we all sat there glued. But we weren't watching a live feed. What we were watching was the representation of the moon landings, which appeared on American television.
Yes.
24 hours before, recorded in Australia, and then flown to New Zealand.
Yeah.
and the recording was played back 24 hours after the event.
Yep.
That doesn't mean to say we weren't absolutely stunned by what we were seeing.
On Friday night, I saw a movie. It's just out. It's called Fly Me to the Moon. The story is that they faked the moon landing, filmed it on a set or back building on Cape Canaveral, and this film also used classic footage from Walter Cronkite and others, and it was part fiction and part facts. So Fly Me to the Moon, put it on your list of going to watch the movies.
Yes, I will.
Yep.
I will. I mean, it was a great step forward for mankind, as Aldrin, I think it was, said. At the time, and a memorable moment in one's life, certainly in mine.
And we're also celebrating the death this day of Alan Shepard, who was in Apollo 14.
Yep, I didn't know that fact, but I think we have to one of those guys who, despite all, came through with the minimum loss of life and have proved that if human beings really make up their mind, they can do just about anything.
John Terrace, thanks for your time this Sunday afternoon.
Wonderful.
It's a pleasure. So 28 minutes away from 2 o'clock at Free FM. This is Richard Clayderman.
And shine, sleepy Joe, now's the time.
That is one of the titles that Donald Trump and others have given to Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe or Crooked Joe. And I had to play that Herman's Hermit song today.
Have a shed that is clean. You can rest your...
Time to talk to our American correspondent. I looked up your Wikipedia page this week, Gary Scofield. It's quite interesting.
Well, thank you. The least I could be is interesting. And as you know, living in interesting times is a curse. So I'll take that as a backhanded compliment.
I believe you're a good artist.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. I've been lucky enough to have many fields in my life, and I've been able to combine them all to hopefully make a difference on this planet, which is what we all should be doing.
And you were with the former New Zealand Governor General, Dame Reedy.
Yes, that was, I had the pleasure and privilege after my years of service in diplomacy and other causes that I was awarded from Her Majesty the Queen a title. Yes. So yes, that was a wonderful thing. It happened in I could have gone to Buckingham Palace, but I chose to come to my home country. So I came back from the USA for that.
Okay, right. I've said earlier that the The Republican Conference was an absolute train wreck.
Yes, before I answer that one, I also want to say, because you know my father, came along to the service and he was singing with the Governor General his Christopher B. jingle song from the 1960s. They both knew it, and so that's my dad, because it's who he worked for in those days. Anyway, sorry, coming back, yes, this is what I find when I listen to the news media coverages, that, for example, it was described calamitous debate, whereas at the time, remember, we only said, you know, poor. He still went toe-to-toe with Donald Trump for an hour, 90 minutes. You know, he fumbled a little bit, but it was only at worst poor. Now it's calamitous and a disaster.
Any time now, we may expect an announcement. President Joe Biden's withdrawal of his candidacy for another term?
Yes, we may do, but the media told us that, the world media pretty much, it went around the world, that this was going to happen after Donald Trump's first speech, after his attempted assassination, and that didn't happen. And now we actually hear whispers of him feeling betrayed. You know, he's seething with the disloyalty. That doesn't sound like somebody about to capitulate to me. But I would just remind the world that the Democratic Party has only, at best, about 20 plus days, because it will be automatic unless something happens between now and, I think, it's the 7th of August. So there is a time schedule that perhaps President Biden might like to run out the clock on it. But, you know, there is plenty going on politically in the world. I noticed that Donald Trump in Michigan actually declared that he took a bullet for democracy. And that's a quote.
Yeah. People were praising Donald Trump and saying, sorry, it was back to normality only a day later. But let's get to the conference. Rudy Giuliani fell over. Was he drunk? Donald Trump Jr. told a reporter to get out of the building. Matt Gaetz had a go at McCarthy, and you've probably seen that video. And Matt Gaetz then turned up on stage with, did he overdo it with the Botox? Did you see the picture of his face?
Well, these are the kind of things that detract from the message that the Republicans have to show to the world. And they talked about the president rambling for a while, but really these are the same messages that he's put forward all the time, and they say he's anti-immigration, but you know, any country must have an enforceable border.
Yep.
These are some of the substantive issues, and of course substantive issues for the Democrats. So yep. The Democratic position is, from President Biden only days ago, that no person, you know, there's no reason to talk to Putin, and kind of mocking communication with Kim Jong-un. Yep. But in the diplomacy field, of which I have some experience, That is the way that you end conflict.
Yep. And then, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene had to put her size nines in, accusing the Democratic Party of trying to assassinate Trump, and then calling out the Democrats as pedophiles. I saw it on all over the screens, because I'm a big fan of Midas Media in America, and they show all these emails. They show the screenshots. And, of course, NBC tried to take Morning Joe off the air too at the same time. So that's another. he wrote back, because he was a Republican, and he said to them, if you take me off the air, I'm gone. But, yep, no, a complete train wreck. And at the end of the conference, guess who turned up? Hulk Hogan, the wrestler.
Well, you know, I love the way that you follow this so closely, especially the minutiae and especially the scandalous aspects to what is going on in the political arena. And it's always edifying for me to listen to you too on these Sunday programs.
People will be sending emails to the station, because some people do ask about you, and we try to do it nicely. That hey, he's got his opinion, and we've got our opinion. So
Well, of course, and I welcome, and I would love further input from those, because there is nothing like, and this is the way we used to do things in the 70s and 80s that I remember, and that was discourse. So you have people with different opinions, and they argue with you, not frightened to mention what your opinions are or tread on their toes. If you can be proved wrong, then you've learned something, or you've helped somebody else garner a different perspective of their opinion. Yeah. So this is what I welcome, and I think it would be healthy. And we tend to have lost that by burying ourselves on the internet, which, as you know, with the crowd strike business, can fail us.
Yep. just back to Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
According to McCarthy, he's facing allegations that he had sex with a minor. And I think Gaetz is facing some troubles, waters coming up.
Well, I won't comment on any of the allegations. So, but yes, always interesting perspective. What about the? And I don't know if it's happened to you in your day to day. It's only been a week. As a matter of fact, just on this program a week ago was when the attempted assassination was. But have you heard any good conspiracy theories lately?
Well, I can tell you, I today we are celebrating the anniversary. 55 years ago today is the moon landing.
Yes.
And I've seen the movie Fly Me to the Moon. It's got Tatum Chatham in it, and also Woody Harrelson from The Cheers. It's based on fact. You see scenes of Walter Cronkite, but it's a conspiracy that the people behind Apollo 11, they put up a building at the back of Cape Canaveral, or Cape Kennedy as it was that time, and filmed some scenes. And
that wasn't exactly the conspiracy that I was looking for, but yes, I just meant about, I've heard so many interesting things about the Trump assassination.
Yes.
But that's right. Yes, I'm aware that there are a group, and this is a huge topic, of course.
Yep.
My only comment on all of that was, do you remember the days when the press and the media, yourselves to one side, not talking about you,
yep,
but with the trust in the media, I bet with a little more trust in media, we would have less conspiracy theories.
I've got a conspiracy.
It used to be, when we were growing up, we didn't have a conspiracy theory of the week, but now it's just everywhere. And I wonder if that has got something to do with it.
I've forgotten one conspiracy theory, that after the assassination and they took Trump off to get medical treatment, his medical records have disappeared. That's the newest conspiracy.
I see. So also, I was wondering if you had time, and maybe I could leave it to a following week.
Yes, we
got. But the implication for how we are addressing other major events that could be existential for mankind, such as the increasing of the temperature of our planet.
Climate change.
And just mentioning that I worked with Dr. Richard Ekman, Earth Science Division Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters, on the fascinating topic of albedo,
yep.
which we could talk with sometime when you have a moment.
Yes, we've got to move on. It's a quarter to two, so we've got a couple more guests to do. Hey, Gary, thank you for your input week after week. It's been a pleasure, and all the best to Stuart, and give him our best.
It's our birthdays coming up in a couple of days. So,
when is Stuart, when is he coming back to see us?
Well, I'm still trying to get him to do that. I'll mention that in our conversation we'll have.
Cheers. Thank you, Gary.
Yes. Gary, how's the weather in Whangaparao?
Oh, it is beautiful up here. It was raining, but, you know, it has always got such charm to be here by the sea. And also for me, being that I'm in a 1960s batch from that era, it's like where I grew up, so it's also home.
Thank you, Gary Schofield. Speak to you next week.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
To get into a new kind of dream, you've been living alone with no bell telephone, and you don't have a shed that is clean. You can rest your head on the corner of your bed.
There we are, Herman's Hermits. That's for Joe Biden. It's called Sleepy Joe at... quarter to two on a Sunday afternoon.
Russell Armitage is our informant on so many musical matters. He says in an email, I've just received this from Te Awamutu Concerts Alive hardworking committee and am passing it on. We've just heard that the Hamilton Civic Choir, together with the Southern Delaware Chorale, who have been in New Zealand for the World Choir Games, will be performing at 4 o'clock today in St. John's Anglican Church, Arawata Street, Te Awamutu, on the theme, I'm Walking on Sunshine. Tickets are $35 each, $25 for seniors. We thought, says Russell, you would want to know about this opportunity. Remember also that Te Awamutu Concerts Alive, he says, Students Showcase is on next Sunday. Vocal, instrumental, and ensemble performances. And that will be next Sunday, 2 o'clock at St. John's Anglican Church, Arawata Street, Te Awamutu. And for that concert, tickets are $25 cash at the door, students free. And the soloists, Isabella Reed, Edward Smith, Sophia Young, Grace Burt, accompanied by well-known pianist Francis Cohen. They'll be singing duos and solos from Così fan tutte and Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, as well as many other delightful songs. It should be, says Russell, a wonderful afternoon of music. We hope you'll be able to join us. And we have in Hamilton Youth Action Plan something that hopefully will bring out the opinions of a younger generation. The information is that over the next 12 months, the Hamilton City Council will be facilitating the development of Hamilton's Youth Action Plan. And they'd love for us to be more involved if we fit the age group. That's what it says, Hamilton Youth Action Plan. Other youth advocates will attend one hui for this first round of engagement. Basically, anyone who wants to see the youth of our city thrive. These hui will be an opportunity to hear more about the project and the process, as well as network with each other. They'll be creating and sharing some ideas on how we can reach youth between 12 and 24 years of age, for instance, in our community where they're at, as well as establishing who wants to be involved along the way. One phase of the project involves seeking feedback and ideas from youth directly. Their input will shape the goals and desired outcomes of the action plan, with the plan itself being formed with a working group of youth, with youth for youth. So they need to make sure they reach as many rangatahi as they can and in the right way for both the wider input and the working group. If we're interested in attending any of the hui, then that can be organised. The source of our information is Emma Newman, Community Advisor. emma.newman@hcc.government.nz is the contact there. There is one of these hui. It'll be the first coming up on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. It's between 10 o'clock and noon in the reception lounge of Hamilton City Council.
12 minutes to 2 at Free FM 89.0. Rugby results. How Tapu gone down?
Yeah, well done, Hamilton Earth. Great win.
22 points to 8. They won the Shield. Good one there for the guys. Fraser Tech, another one. Good one over Matamata. 37-27. The Bees, they play a brilliant game yesterday. Well done, Hamilton Old Boys, taking it out. Defeated Otrahonga by 40 points to 31. And also the Morrisville Sports Bees took out against the University of Manamata by 18 points to 12. So, you know, with this thing, hard luck for Haotapu. You know, you won it 3 in a row, but Hamilton Harris came out and won it four times in a row. So well done there, guys. So
yep.
That's the finals of the Premier A's and the B's. Next week, there's the Premier A's second division is coming up. So from there, and then I think after that is going to be the under-58s, the under-19s, the senior reserves, and all them be staying again, and also the girls' team.
Yeah.
So, well done, guys. Heads up there, Haotapu. You know, hard luck. You know, you might win another game for next year.
And, of course, then, Mulu Magic arrives with, in the form of Waikato.
Yes, that's going to happen very soon. I haven't got an email back from Waikato Rugby Union yet, but once I do get an email confirmation, I'll broadcast it on there to tell people where to go.
It is 10 minutes to 2. We've been remembering anniversaries this week. Yes, the moon landing this day, 1969, 55 years ago, and the death of Apollo 14 astronaut Alan Shepard. He died this particular day. So we've been remembering those with our particular guests. And, of course, this program was on air in 1969, 55 years ago. Good afternoon, our Coronation Street expert. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Oh, good afternoon. I wasn't on air that early. I'm a newcomer. What I want to talk about today is the, I can't get my head around the pay that the CEO of the Hamilton City Council gets and how laid back the ratepayers are. You would have thought that they would have marked some protests about his pay increase he's got, considering the huge debt the council's in and the horrendous hike of interest in the rates to the poor ratepayers. It's not on. And I was driving along Tristram Street on Friday and I saw the remnants of the Founders Theatre, what's left of it, standing and up in the behind a fence. I thought, well, there's the end of a decade. Decades of what you might call a landmark of Hamilton. Classical 1960s architecture. I was admired that building from day one when I first saw it. And to see it in the status that now of only remnants of its left standing. Well, come on now, what's going on with the council? Please, don't copy other councils because they paint their roads a funny colour and put pot plants in the middle of the side of the road where you can't park a car. And humps galore and cycle lane rods sticking up out of the ground when cyclists hardly ever use them. Talking about cyclists, I only seen two this week, late at night, on the footpath, no lights and no helmet. So what's the world coming to?
Yeah, that's a pity. And did you see the story there? One of the finance managers is leaving the city council. He's quitting. So is this the signs that maybe they're going to get rid of some of their people that are on, what did I say a couple of weeks ago, $100,000 a year? and the CEO $400,000 a year.
That's ridiculous. I mean, shouldn't really be allowed, really. I mean, if they were saving, if the council wasn't in debt and rates are going down, as that's imaginable, I could understand the pay increase, but what's he done to earn that increase apart from putting the council into horrendous debt and building things that are beyond their capability of financing?
Yeah. Thank you, Trevor, for your comment this week. Well, this week I've been watching a few YouTube videos of a group of young men and young women from Harvard University in the USA. They are a cappella singers, and they take old pop tunes and they build it around singing. One group is the Harvard Crocodiles. They are a group that sing in tuxedos, and they, and another group is what they call the Harvard Gin and Tonics. They've taken words out of gin and tonic, but they call themselves the Gin and Tonics. And what they do is they dress in they dress in tails with shirts and bow ties, and they sing a cappella. And I've been looking at some of the videos of this particular group, young men and young women, and the Dins, as they call, they wear lime green socks. And they were on a world tour at the moment. I think they're in Australia in the next couple of weeks. And one of the videos I'm in, a young Asian boy is singing Shaboom, which is a song from the 50s. And he gathered together his group and people who have played in the Dins, as they call them. This is from Harvard University. They're all undergraduates at this university. It is great music to hear this group. Yes, Trevor.
Final note for Coronation Street fans like myself. Good news, Coronation Street's back next week.
Yeah.
And I know we've all done it hard. It's been off air for about 3 or 4 days. Good news, back next week. So,
what was the reason it was off air?
Well, I rang up TV New Zealand to find out what's going on, and I asked them to transfer me through to the program section. I said, what's the nature? And I told them, I said, oh, the phone's been ringing off the hook about that. And it's, I think it's what it's relating to is some sporting program that's come on that interfered with which would have clashed with Coronation Street.
I know the Olympics are coming up. That's not it.
No, something else, actually. I can't think of the top of my head.
Anyway.
But it's back next week. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Talk about a cappella. I'll have to talk Derek into playing something from the Harvard Gin and Tonics, because it's great stuff. They have to play the Shaboom one of these days from them. It's 2:04. We played this earlier. This is the Royal Guardsman. And as we celebrate the moon landing today, this is the smallest astronaut.
3, 2, 1, ignition.
Into the black of outer space go four of the chosen few. The systems check out A-OK. We're going to the moon. Moonshot countdown, Earth shine on. Blaze your light our way. Tell the world the universe belongs to us today. On through the pull of 50 G's and up through the atmosphere. Suddenly a blip, it's the radar screen, and another ship flies near. The astronauts try the radio, but the mystery ship flies on. So the captain hits the retro boost, and the race to the moon is on. 10, 9, 8 and counting down, our boys are on their way. Tell the world the universe
This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.